With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
First things first, the Tampa train just keeps on rolling. Are Tom Brady and the 6-1 Bucks the best team in the NFL? Have yourself a day, Jamar Chase. Is the Bengals rookie already the league's best wideout? I think Nick said this very thing on Friday, and somehow, some way, Daniel Jones reeled in this one-handed beauty. QB1 looking like wide receiver one. Good Monday morning, everyone. Welcome to First Things First. Look at Kevin Wilds. Beyond intrigue. Jenna Wolf, Nick Wright, Broussard. Wilds, I'll tell our audience, you put the Panthers on upset alert. You did. You, my friend. Big Blue delivered. I will let you give us the old I told you so.
Well, I'm happy for the Giants, and I wish there was another story that we could lead with. We'll see after the animation, Jenna. Maybe there's another big story out there we should talk about.
Not that I can think of. I mean, let's see. What else happened? The Jets lost. We knew that. Oh, you mean this one. We got to start in Nashville, ladies and gents. Chiefs, Titans, first drive of the game. Derrick Henry runs. Derrick Henry, also pretty good football player. He had a touchdown pass from King Henry yesterday. Titans did anything they wanted. Derrick Henry's throwing touchdowns. They're molly-whopping. The Titans 14-0 before the end of the first quarter. Chiefs defense still a problem. Chiefs turnover still a problem. Two more for Mahomes yesterday. He was picked off for the sixth straight game, his longest INT streak ever. Also got hurt at the end of this one. We're going to have more on that in a second. The Titans had their way with the Chiefs. 27-3 was your final. After the game, Patrick Mahomes on where the 3-4 Chiefs go from here.
It's been kind of rainbows and flowers and awesome for these last few years, but whenever you want to build something substantial and you want to build something great, you're going to go through parts like this. And I mean, people keep saying it's still early in the year. I mean, we can still go get whatever we want, but it's going to take us getting better every single day, because if you get better every single day and play each game play by play, I think we have the talent in this locker room that we can make it happen.
All right, so as we mentioned earlier, Mahomes got knocked out of this game on a nasty hit to the head in the fourth quarter. It actually looked like he snapped his neck back. It looked painful. He didn't return, but he did clear concussion protocol, which is great news for Patrick Mahomes. But Nick, they got problems. Should the Chiefs be in full-blown panic mode at this time?
Well, Jenna, I don't know what the audience expects me to say here, but... And I don't know if the Chiefs are in full-blown panic mode, but I am. What the hell do they do all week? Here's the thing. Guess what, guys? If I hadn't watched a Giants game all year, if I'd never watched football, I could tell them, guess what the Giants are going to do? They're going to play too high safety and make you take short games. That's going to be their defense. On offense, they're going to play action pass you to death and throw in the flat and intermediate over the middle. That's what the Giants are going to do next week. And I have no reason to believe the Chiefs are going to be prepared for it, because it's what everyone has done every week. I don't know if this team practices. I can deal with the bad defense. I saw a team that should have won the Super Bowl 3 years ago have a historically bad defense. The bad defense all year long, I've said, we'll deal with it. What I can't deal with, Broussard, is 3 points. I can't deal with the offense, forget not looking unstoppable. The offense looking stuck in the mud from word go. They spend all their money on offensive linemen. The Titans don't blitz ever, and they just keep getting to Mahomes. Right. No one can get open. No one can block. No one can run, and the defense is terrible. So if I sound a little less confident than I have in the past, it's because I thought the Titans' secondary was missing everyone. Scored 3 points. So, yeah, I'm a little panicked. I'm a little upset. Your guys' all collective glee is a borderline HR violation. We do work together. No. I don't appreciate it.
This
but
is
yeah,
not glee.
I'm a little panicked.
This is my resting face.
I see. Uh-huh. Yeah. First of all, let me say this. Jenna and Wilds, I can't tell you how delighted I was yesterday. Not that the Chiefs got destroyed, but that I wasn't watching the game with Nick. Because I didn't think I could handle another afternoon of having him lay on my shoulder and patting him on his head as he cried, which is what happened last time we watched the Chiefs loss together.
Happen.
So that I was happy that that wasn't the case.
Start the week off with lies.
But Nick, I'm surprised that you are in full-blown panic mode. I guess I get it because it's been Super Bowl or bust. I would say panic mode is just a smidgen too much. Whatever's below panic mode, in distress, disquieted, under duress, major concern, like that's where Chiefs fans should be. Because I'm not ready to say they're not going to make the playoffs. And if they make the playoffs, that means to some degree they've fixed some things. And once you get there, especially when you got Pat Mahomes, you got a chance. So I'm not in full-blown panic mode, but obviously they got issues. And I'll say this. Yesterday was the first time all season. Because remember, I picked the Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl, too, to win it. Yesterday was the first time, Wilds, that I really became worried about the Chiefs. Even after Buffalo, I was like, they're fine. They'll get it together. Yesterday was the first time. And I got to say something about Pat Mahomes. Jenna mentioned the 6 games with a turnover, 3 straight now with multiple turnovers. And I think Mahomes is in that space where you could see it in the game where he was trying to do too much to overcompensate for the defense, but then battling within himself between playing off instinct and making all the crazy throws he does or being too cautious. And I thought it happened at halftime because in the first half, when he fumbled, I felt like I could hear him thinking, should I slide or should I go for these extra yards? We need them. And he fumbles. He goes for the yards, fumbles. So then in the second half, Wiles, I thought he was like being too cautious. Like, it's like telling Steph Curry, don't take wild off-balance threes. Well, that's a part of Steph Curry. And Pat Mahomes has become Patrick Mahomes, Super Bowl champion, MVP, best quarterback in the league by doing these crazy things, making these wild, ill-advised throws.
Playing
fearless. You heard him after the game. We can't make 14-point plays. We can't try to do too much. That's what he does. That's what's made him who he is. So he's concerned. So everyone should be concerned, Wilds, but not quite panic mode.
Okay, Broussard, you are the band member on the Titanic. Like, I'm not panicking yet, guys. Like, it's time to panic. The place is going down. Broussard, we got another song to play, fellas. No, it's time to be in full-blown panic mode. And Nick, me and Dusty cooked up a little graphic for you. We were going to call it Nick's Tears, T-E-A-R-S. We were going to be like 20-0, question mark. We just went a little bit safer. We called it Kansas City Troubles. Just nice and easy if we can reveal Kansas City Troubles. There's 3 things you really need to be worried about, and within that, 100 other things. Oh, you don't protect the ball anymore. You got a league-high 17 giveaways. Mahomes leads the league with 9 interceptions. Just for the record, it's more than Cardinals, Bills, and the Bucks combined have less than 17 giveaways. So that's not great. That's not great. And here's the thing. I need to correct something. A lot of people are out there, Nick, saying that the Chiefs have the worst defense in the league. That is just a flat out lie. If we can show how bad their defense is, however, it's not great. They're 28th in total yards. They do allow a touchdown more than everybody else in the league. If we can show the graphic here, Pepper, this is a little bit of a rough ride. So if you have children in the room, you might want to move them out or just say, hey, you know what? This is just a grown-up show. You don't want to hear this. Points per game tied 27, yards per game 28, passes 26, rush 27. They allow touchdowns on 33% of the drives. And now, as you mentioned, they also can't score. That's not great either, let's be honest with you. It's since the Super Bowl, they're 3-5. Mahomes has not been Mahomes. I said he looks like a sneakerhead working at the sneaker store, giving everybody the Patrick price. But, Nick, this is not great either. So the question to you is this. Are you more worried about Patrick Mahomes, or are you more worried about the defense? If you had to pick one. I know it's tough. I know it's tough. But which horrible thing about the Chiefs are you worried about more right now?
Well, listen, what I'm most worried about is right now they're so bad they have the same record as the Patriots. And I can't stomach that. I can't handle it. I'd rather they have a worse record than the Patriots than be tied with the Patriots. But listen, Patrick will be fine. However, I'm going to go reiterate what I said at the beginning. What teams are doing is not complex. They are running the play action pass at a super high rate because the Chiefs linebackers look like they didn't know that was allowed. And they are running this same too high safety look that, by the way, teams tried to do against the Chiefs last year and Kansas City picked it apart. So, no, I can't puff my chest out here and say I'm totally convinced everything will be okay because yesterday's game was such an abomination. The Ravens game, the Chargers game, I actually don't. You guys know in real time. I wasn't concerned at all. They played well enough to win those games. They had bad fourth down luck. They had bad fumble luck. Those things happen against good teams. The Titans are a good but far from great team that you knew exactly what they were going to do. Run Derrick Henry around 30 times, do play action pass over the middle. They couldn't stop it. They have a secondary that stunk when it was healthy that was without four of its top seven guys. And the Chiefs couldn't move the football. So what am I most concerned about right now? Right now it's the coaching, to be totally honest. It is the coaches' jobs to put the team in position to know what's coming and to be prepared for it. We all knew what was coming. And for them to react the way they did and play the way they did in a critical game when the Chargers had just lost and were off this week, they didn't know what was going to happen in the Raiders game, theoretically tied for in the top of the division in wins. And instead, it was over by 2 p.m. Eastern. It's the worst the Chiefs have looked in 5 years. And so, yeah, it's really, really bad. It's really, really bad.
How was the Patriots game?
Just to recap, America, Chiefs, Patriots, same record. One's going up, one's going down.
All right,
let's talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for a second. The unstoppable. The making football look easy, the all fun and games 6-1 Bucks. Tom Brady threw his 600th career touchdown pass to Mike Evans yesterday, but Evans, not realizing it, gives the ball away to... I gave the ball away? No, I did not. Evans like, I did what? Bucks were, though, able to get it back, thankfully. Hope the fan walked away with something nice. Here was Tom Brady on the milestone.
I don't actually keep too many things, so... in that circumstance, I just... Yeah, I felt like that might be a good one to keep.
Time now for eye openers. That's what it says on the screen. Tom Brady opened my eyes yesterday. No AB, no Gronk, no problem. Brady throwing four touchdowns. Made it look super, 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 super easy in a 38-3 rout of the Chicago Bears. Nick Wright, though, who opened your eyes in week 7?
Well, Jenna, here is the list of things I got wrong this weekend. Here is the list of things I got right. It just says Jamar.
What is it?
Jamar Chase and the Bengals. You can't really see it. You're just going to have to trust me. Listen, It was the game I picked as the upset alert, Bengals over Ravens, and it was because I asked the question, is Jamar Chase already the best receiver in the NFL? I know Cooper Kupp's having the best year, but nobody actually thinks Kupp's the best receiver. So is it Jamar or is it Tyreek? Jamar's been better than Tyreek. Is it Jamar or is it DeAndre Hopkins? I'm starting to lean Jamar. And that final line on that graphic, 21 and a half yards per catch, it has been a decade since a player on a high volume of throws averaged 21 plus yards per catch. The Ravens secondary's good. This should not have happened. And all of a sudden, the Bengals, Burrow, Mixon, Chase, that's a hell of a big three on offense. He is spectacular. It has been literally years since he had a bad game. You've got to go back to his first year at LSU when he was only a part-time player. And so, yeah, Jamar Chase running away with Offensive Rookie of the Year and has a real shot as a rookie, Broussard, to be an all-pro receiver. So Jamar Chase and all of a sudden the first-place Bengals.
Yeah, Nick, I'm going to start off with giving you some love. That was a great call last week on Jamar being potentially the best receiver in the league. The 20 yards per catch, you said it. You used to see that a little bit back in the day. But you can go Devontae Adams, Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham Jr. None of them have ever averaged 20 yards a catch in a season. We'll see if Jamar keeps it up. But that's how impressive that is. So good call there. Now I got to give you the criticism. My eye-opener, Nick, Mac Jones. Mac Jones. And look, I think I'm the lone believer. I don't know. Wilds, I hear you cheering. Are you back on the Mac train? Because I think I'm the lone believer on the show. I mean, a week ago, you were ready to hop off. Is that correct? Are you back on? We'll let you back on.
He did hop off. No.
He hopped
I had
off.
Some questions about Josh McDaniels. I am not only on the Mac Jones bandwagon, I am steering the oxen, and I'm serving beverages on the thing. I am never hopping off. I run the thing.
I
do question Josh McDaniels.
I was concerned.
Go ahead.
We'll let you back on. All right. Nick, it's early. Nick, years from now, nobody will remember that you thought he was a scrub for his first few games. You want to get on? You can get on.
Yeah. You can
because
on.
Mac was the man. Come on. There's room. I know you're hopping off the Kansas City bandwagon, so come on. Come on the Mac train. There's room. Look, he entered the game as the only first-round draft pick among the quarterbacks with a 100-yard or 100 passer rating in any of his individual games. And what does he do? He goes out and does it for a fourth time. Oh, Nick, you're always ripping him about dinking and dunking. Well, he threw for 300-plus yesterday. First time this season, almost 11 yards per attempt. And don't look now, but over the last two games, 9-plus yards per attempt, 2 touchdowns in each of his last two games, in 3 of his last 4 games.
Why? Those are Mahomes' numbers.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. But I think you are with me in feeling pretty decent about their chances of actually getting into the playoffs. AFC North is legit.
Oh, yeah.
Chiefs may get in as a wild card. Yeah. But they're in the hunt. They're in the hunt. So, Mac Jones,
No, they're not. Not unless they get the Jets another 8 times. The Mac Jones stuff, I'm glad we showed his one nice pass down the field. Can we just show the Mac Jones passing chart, please? I'm not, guys. The blue line is the line of scrimmage. More than half of his completions came either behind or 1 yard past the line of scrimmage. So miss me with the 300 yards. It was all to running backs and tight ends in the backfield. I didn't make that.
No, it's fair.
That's the next gen stats. That is what they're doing. Shame on the Jets for letting that offense run all over them.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not impressed by Mac Jones.
Can I defend the Jets? Hold on, why are you ripping the Jets? The Jets beat the Titans, who just destroyed Who was it? Oh, the Chiefs.
Property. Yep.
The 20-0 yep. Chiefs. So they just destroyed the 20-0
right.
Chiefs.
You know what? Good take.
So I'm just
good
saying,
take. The
like,
Jets are
like,
good.
Don't rip
my
them.
My bad.
For,
my apologies. For solid take this morning. The Jets are a good
they
team.
They trounced
I forgot.
The Jets.
I forgot. I'm sorry.
No, but they didn't
I
struggle
forgot.
With them.
No, 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 no. I forgot. I forgot. The Jets are a good team.
All right.
This is the Texans. The Patriots 3 wins. My bad. My bad.
Look, I think it's Broussard is going a little bit overboard on Mac Jones. He only accounted for almost 50 more points than Patrick Mahomes. So, you know, 50. Maybe if he gets to 60 more points than the Chiefs, that would be more interesting. Okay, moving on to my eye-opener. A lot of quarterbacks had bad games this weekend. Justin Fields didn't look very good. My guy Sam Darnold got benched. No one had a worse performance. And I hate to do this, be negative. But you know I love Jenna. You know I love enthusiasm and I love quarterback safety. But there's exceptions to every rule. Taylor
this
Heineke.
This was terrible.
This is a 21-7 game. Taylor Heineke gives himself up, thinks that he scores. And as I usually love enthusiasm, miss me with the Lambeau leap as a visiting player. Stop doing it. You get everything that you deserve. Oh, but surely they scored on the next play. Nope. Quarterback dive, fumbled, gets it back, stuffed. This is a game they could have won. And because this error is so silly, Taylor Heineke's not going to get as much blame as, you know, Jimmy G. But this is the worst play. And people are like, oh, you shouldn't give it like, this makes total sense. Terrible play by Taylor Heineke. Washington's defense is a mess. So I'm sorry. I usually love enthusiasm. But no more Lambeau leaps unless you're a Packer, Jenna.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Those of you who didn't see, Taylor Heineke did the Lambeau leap. Turns out, was not
Real
a touchdown.
Talk. Real talk.
Hey, let's head down to Tampa. Tom Brady was cooking yesterday. Wilds, didn't you say it? He's out there making things look easy, like child's play. Are his 6-1 Bucks the best team in the NFL? Talk about that next. First things first. Running the no huddle. Start in Tampa, where the Bucks wasted no time putting it on the Bears, led 21-0 before the second quarter even started. Tom Brady, his usual flawless self, 4 touchdowns, including number 600 for his career. That one to Mike Evans. Like Wild says, it's like he's just toying with the rest of them out there, effortless. Tampa cruises to their 4th straight win. They're now 6-1 on the season. I got to ask you, Broussard, are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers the best team in the NFL?
Yes, Jenna, they are. Nick, I expect to see them atop the tiers this week, although I'm betting you go with the team I said should have been above it last week, which was Arizona. People may say Arizona because they're undefeated, but look, in a big game, who you taking? Tom Brady or Kyler Murray? It's as simple as that. The Rams, that defense isn't quite what it was last year. The AFC powerhouses are up and down. Buffalo still hasn't beaten a team with a winning record yet. So I'm going with Tampa Bay. I think Tom Brady is, as I predicted in the preseason, right now the MVP. I believe it would be him. They got the best receiving core in the league. Didn't even have Gronk and AB yesterday, and it was ridiculous what they did. That Chicago defense is good. It's sixth best defense in the league, seventh best in terms of points allowed, and they just mincemeat out of them, scored 35 points in the first half. Leonard Fournette, guys, I've been saying it. I think he's a Pro Bowler. 100-plus yards from scrimmage in each of the last four games, or he's averaged over 100 yards from scrimmage the last four games, catching and passing. The biggest thing for me, though, is the improvement of the defense, and I get it. It's been a light schedule the last 4 weeks. But still, they have allowed fewer than 15 points a game on average over those last four games. I think Todd Bowles is beginning to improve this defense. So, yeah, Wiles, I would go with Tampa Bay right now as number one.
Yeah, I probably would, too. I mean, this game was over early, Nick. Tom Brady now has 21 touchdowns, most yards in the league. I would have pulled him probably a little bit earlier, but he was gunning for that fifth touchdown. I think if there's any sort of flaw in Tampa Bay's game plan, is that Brady really has his eyes set on this MVP. This game, there was no chance the Bears were coming back. Justin Fields was totally overmatched. I would have put in Nick Foles, to be honest with you, letting Foles try to work some Brady magic. But I think Brady is gunning for that MVP. Then it's been so easy for them. I wouldn't be surprised if they got a shock in the next few weeks and come down to earth. They're just playing with so much confidence. I think it teeters on overconfidence.
Well, let me start with your point. They are obviously trying to juice Brady's stats. Brady had 200 yards passing and four touchdowns. And like you were mentioning at the end, they're throwing the ball on the goal line repeatedly from inside the three, trying to get him his fifth touchdown. I'm fine with that. Like, Tom Brady totally remade that franchise in his image, took them from a team we never talk about to a team that's in discussion for best team in football. So if he wants to win MVP, yep. And by the way, it's a long league. How many MVPs did you pick before the year, Broussard? We got Jameis. I thought you said Gio Bernard. Now we have Tom Brady
Dark
as well.
Horse.
It's a long list of MVP picks. But I mean, I can't even remember all of them. Josh Allen, I'm sure you said at some point. But by the way, big week next week for Broussard's actual MVP picks, Brady and Jameis, because they play each other. But so here's the reason why I'm not comfortable calling them the best team in the NFL. We've seen them play two good teams, and they barely beat one and lost to the other. And this is where I think the schedule could work against them. Now, I do think Broussard's going to be right. I think Brady's going to run away with MVP. Because what are they going to be, 14-3, 13-4 at worst? But they're going to get, they have played two teams with a winning record. And the rest of the way, they might only have one more game against a team that finishes the year with a winning record, and that's Buffalo. So I think they're going to have an amazing record and amazing numbers. I do have a concern, though, whether or not they're going to be tested enough. And so that I'm not ready to call them the best team in the NFL because somehow, some way, they won the Super Bowl and got the easiest schedule of any team in the league. I don't know how that happened, but it clearly did. But they are playing excellent football on both sides of the ball, Jenna.
Who's not the best team in the NFL? The Chiefs. They played the Titans yesterday. Talk about a lopsided game, and not the way most of us expected. Titans provided the mollywhopping in this one. Derrick Henry throwing a touchdown, running for 86 yards. Ryan Tannehill and A.J. Brown took care of the rest for the Titans, who pulled off a statement win for the second straight week in the AFC. Chris Broussard, is it time to consider the 5-2 Titans real contenders after beating the Bills and the Chiefs?
Why not? I mean, yes. They're not the favorites in the AFC. But they got to be a contender. Like I said, Buffalo hasn't yet beat a team with a winning record. Baltimore's up and down, and they just got destroyed by Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati is a little too young, you know, with Joe Burrow at quarterback in his second year to be a true contender in the AFC as far as getting to the Super Bowl. The Chargers, a bit inconsistent themselves. So, yeah, I think you got to throw them in the pack in the AFC. We know they have the great running game, so if they get up on you, watch out. It's going to be tough to come back. Ryan Tannehill showed again yesterday. He's not a great quarterback, but he's a very good quarterback or good quarterback who I believe you can win a Super Bowl with. I know I mentioned they lost to the Jets a couple segments ago. Yeah, but, you know, A.J. Brown was out. Julio Jones was out. No excuse for losing to the Jets. But so that speaks to what they have to do is be more consistent, Nick. And obviously the defense is the big question. But if they can get to be a middle-of-the-pack defense, Nick, and they held Kansas City. We've been trouncing the Chiefs, I know. But they did hold them to 3 points somehow. If they can get that defense into the middle of the pack like they were a couple years ago when they played the Chiefs in the AFC title game, then I think you really got something there in Tennessee.
Yeah, I absolutely do not think they're contenders, which is why that loss for the Chiefs was such an absolute disaster and an embarrassment. Any team they play in the AFC playoffs, the other team's going to have the better quarterback and likely the better defense. So no, you're not a contender. So like when Ryan Tannehill, who we still grade on the Ryan Tannehill curve, but if he's in the playoffs against Lamar, Allen, Mahomes, despite yesterday, hell, at this point, Joe Burrow, there's not going to be an AFC playoff team that, or Justin Herbert, that Tannehill's better than their quarterback. And I do not trust that defense at all. Again, that's why yesterday's Chiefs performance was such an unmitigated disaster. They're 5-2. If Josh Allen can just not trip himself and fall on his face, they're 4-3. You mentioned the loss to the Jets, which is unforgivable. So, no, Derrick Henry might be the league MVP, and I like A.J. Brown. Julio's not the guy he once was, but he's still Julio Jones. But, no, I don't think they're a great team. I don't think they're a contender, which is why I do think yesterday's Chiefs performance was so unforgivable.
Yeah, and I don't want to pile on, but I don't trust the defense either. And the Chiefs are so out of sorts. Having a great game against Patrick Mahomes isn't really worth as much as it used to be. Sorry. Zach Wilson put up 290 yards. Trevor Lawrence with his giant neck had 270. Josh Allen, like you said, Nick, had 350, three touchdowns. So just because you held Patrick Mahomes to a really weird game doesn't mean I all of a sudden believe in you. Although I do like Mike Vrabel. Don't say I don't like Mike Vrabel, Jenna. I do like Mike Vrabel. Great Patriot.
Good takeaway. All right. Leave it there. Time to move on to Nick's NBA medal stand. John Morant cooking last night at the Staples Center. He dropped 40-10 on the Lakers, but just missed out on a medal. Nick, which three guys did it better this weekend?
This was a tough medal stand because almost all the best performances came in losses. We're going to start with the bronze. Kevin Durant, in a loss, played an almost perfect basketball game. He was really good Friday. He was even better Sunday. 38 points on 24 shots for a guy who, thus up to this point in the season, has been the best player in the league very early, but he's been spectacular. He gets a bronze. Silver medal, another loss. Paul George in a great game against Memphis, game that came down to the very end. Paul George gives him 41-10 on 60% shooting, but not quite enough for a win. Tried to pull him back at the very end. He gets the silver. And the gold medal goes to C. Anthony. Not Cole Anthony, who almost got a bronze, but Carmelo. Not only for bailing the Lakers out, but for passing, I would argue, the most underrated, historically great player ever, Moses Malone. He did win three MVPs, America. On the all-time scoring list, Melo. Ninth all-time scorer. He's coming for you, Shaquille O'Neal. That's who's eighth. So Carmelo, for a night where he passes Moses Malone, bails the Lakers out, he gets the gold medal, Broussard.
I like the list, Nick, and I'm glad you gave Melo love. You know what I'm glad? I have debated with people. I've said Melo's the first ballot Hall of Famer easy, and people have pushed back on me over the years. Him making the top 75, that seals it, right? First ballot Hall of Famer, and there was no debate.
Yes.
I didn't hear anybody saying, oh, what's Melo doing on there? He definitely, exactly. Melo is a great player. I know he hadn't won a title, but he is a historically great player. I'm glad he had a tremendous game last night in passing or moving into, what, ninth place. So good for Melo. Good listening.
Yep, next up, Shaq. All right, Kevin Wilds, who just missed the cut?
Ooh, look at the Joker. This is one of the best passes you've ever seen in your whole darn life. Through three people. That's why Joker's the 78th best player in the history of the NBA. Back-to-back MVPs, not ruling it out. Feels like that's a hot take no one's got. I might take it just for, you know, it's a bargain. Great pass from the Joker.
That is awesome.
Wow. Back to our top story now. Knicks Chiefs getting mollywopped by Derrick Henry and the Titans. Is it
you
red alert
time
using for
my
Kansas
word
City?
To talk bad about
okay
the Chiefs.
They got crushed.
Mollywopped is my word. You're taunting me with it.
First things first, on a Monday morning, talking some Brooklyn Nets now. They lost to the Hornets yesterday at home. James Harden struggling again. Been a rough start to the season for him. 2 of 8 from deep yesterday. Turned the ball over 8 times. That is 8 more times than he would have liked, I'm sure. He's not getting to the free throw line as often as we've seen in previous seasons either. Just 1 free throw yesterday. Head coach Steve Nash was asked after the loss how the rule change is forcing Harden to change. Take a listen to this.
I feel like he's unfairly become the poster boy of not calling these fouls. But some of them are definitely fouls still. But they're just so alert and aware. And he's the poster child of these new decisions that they're still, I get it, there's a line, but some of them are still fouls.
But I'm not the type to complain about it. You know what I mean? I just, you know, ask every official, you know, if they see a foul, just call the foul. Sometimes I feel like, you know, coming into a game, you know, it's already predetermined or I already have that stigma of, you know, getting foul calls. But I just ask for officials to just call what they see.
It's neither here nor there, but that coat looked very cozy. Hey, Nick, should Nets fans be worried about Harden struggling to adapt to the NBA's new rules? It feels like he is struggling to do it.
Well, let's be clear about what Brooklyn's been through 3 games. Kevin Durant is playing like he's the best player in basketball. He's averaging 33 a night, 10 rebounds, 6 assists on an insane 37 PER. Patty Mills, big offseason acquisition, is shooting a nice, tidy 70% from 3. And despite that, they're 1-2, and if not for a meltdown by Philly in the final 5 minutes of that game, they'd be 0-3. So what's going on here? What's going on here is James Harden is in real life living out that meme of the guy who's like, oh my God, I'm sowing, it's so much fun. And then when it's time to reap what you've sown, it sucks. The reason James Harden is the poster boy for this rule is because James Harden was the reason for this rule. Trae Young to a lesser extent, Steph Curry a little bit, but really James Harden. The league said, we are letting, the players have gotten so smart, they have figured out how to exploit the rules as written, and they are changing the way the game is supposed to be played. So now one must adjust. And Broussard, it's going to be very interesting to see if Harden can. Because James Harden, Apex Harden, the 3 years in Houston, when he won 3 straight scoring titles, he averaged an unprecedented 23 combined 3-point attempts and free throw attempts a game. 12 and 11 a game. It's why his scoring was so off the charts. Last year with Brooklyn in a slightly different role, it was 7 3-point attempts, 7 free throw attempts. It is now, very early, 7 3-point attempts, 3 free throw attempts. If James Harden is not getting calls, he goes from an MVP candidate to a simple all-star. Thus far this season, he hasn't even been an all-star, but that's what he goes to. That's a problem.
when you now just have a big two in Brooklyn?
Well, look, if you're right, then yeah, it's a serious problem. And let's just keep it real. If you're right and James Harden is now just your average run-of-the-mill perennial all-star, then they're not going to make the finals. All right? But I'm not ready to say that after three games, Nick. I mean, this is a guy that you have said in the past is the best player ever, never to win a ring.
Not to win a ring.
This is a guy that all of us have said is one of the top handful of scorers and one-on-one players ever. And now after three games, I'm just going to say, you know, he's Zach LaVine. No, I'm not ready to go there. He is still a great three-point shooter. He is still a great finisher. And I think what's happened, Nick, is a few things. One, over the course of the last several years, he's developed a habit of when he goes to the hole, looking to create contact, looking for the contact, and expecting the foul call. All he has to do is adjust to now, let me go looking to finish or make a play, a pass, a lob, or something like that. But let me go not expecting a foul call or bailout, whatever you want to call it, but to finish. And he's strong enough where he can finish. I also think, and you heard him talk about this after the game, he talked about his lack of confidence. I'm not there yet as far as my confidence, which shocked me for an all-time great player. But what he was talking about is the confidence from the injury. Last year with the hamstring was the first major injury of his career. His career. And so if you look at how he played when he came back against Milwaukee with the bad hammy, he was the same way, tentative, not, you know, as aggressive. And it's been that way at the start of this season. So I think he just has to get full confidence in that hamstring, make the mental adjustment of finishing rather than looking for the foul call, and be more aggressive. They need him to get 25-plus a night now that Kyrie's not there, Wilds. And I think he will do it.
You know, yeah, I think he'll eventually figure it out. Just go to the hole and look to score rather than look to draw a foul. But Steve Nash needs to spare me with the saying that he's the poster child for this. Steve Nash, two-time MVP, said to Trae Young when he was backing up, said, "That's not basketball." That is the defining quote from a former great player that was helped push this rule through. So the idea that Steve Nash is now complaining, Nick, about the rule that he pushed through and targeted Trae Young specifically when he had James Harden on his team, like, that's what you get. The other thing that's interesting to me, Nick, is that this is going to have a snowball effect on James Harden. Because when his three's not going down, what does he do? Put your head down, do his little scoop, swing through, move, get a foul, get to the line, watch the ball go in, and then your three-point game will get back on track. So if he loses that, it sort of compounds. So I think he'll figure it out. Yes. He's too smart and too brilliant of a basketball player not to, but it is an issue, and I think it's going to take longer than everybody thinks.
Well, and he doesn't have to get a lot worse because of this for it to totally screw the Nets. The Nets plan, because they don't have a great roster. We can argue about this all year. We'll see how it turns out. They don't have a great roster. And by the way, it's early, but Blake Griffin, three games, they gave him yesterday off to do the draft. Blake Griffin, Detroit fans are like, oh, I recognize that Blake Griffin, not the guy who we saw play for the Nets last year. That's a concern. And Patty Mills isn't going to shoot 70% from three the rest of the year. And Durant will cool off to an extent. A 37 PR is totally unsustainable. But Broussard, the path is do what the Lakers did 2 years ago. Have two top five, top six players, lean on them, and then it doesn't matter how bad the rest of the roster is, or I shouldn't say bad, mismatch the rest of the roster is, you can still win the title. If Harden is not a top six guy, and instead he's a top 16 guy or a top 20 guy, they are screwed. And you're right that I've said he's the best player ever not to win a ring. I have absolutely said that, and I think he has the resume. Like Barkley's in the discussion, Elgin Baylor, but they're all in the same room together. But if the NBA all of a sudden, Broussard, changed the three-pointer rules and said, guess what, now they're worth four, well, then Steph Curry would become, without question, the best player in basketball. And if they changed the three-pointer rules and they said, actually, they're all worth two and dunks are worth five, well, then all of a sudden, Joel Embiid's the best player in basketball. Those are the extremes, but rule changes change the hierarchy. And when you have the player in league history who relies on a whistle more than anyone else ever, would you agree with that? That Harden's game is more whistle reliant than any great player we've ever seen? I guess maybe one could argue Shaq in a weird way because he always got hammered. I don't know. But it's on the short list, right? This rule is going to affect him. And I don't know that he's ready to change. I don't know if when you've done something one way for 8 years in a row, are you able to change?
Yeah, he's able. He'd be on that short list. But the three-point rule and the foul call rule, those are, you mentioned it, that's an extreme compared to something that's not as extreme. If he can't adjust to not getting foul calls, then he's not what we thought he was. Simple as that. I mean, you can adjust to that. All right, you can ball, you know, go finish instead of looking for the call. And I think he can do that. And I also disagree, Nick. I think you are way too down on the Nets roster. I mean, have you seen LaMarcus Aldridge? He's playing fine. You mentioned Patty Mills. Blake Griffin, it's three games. I think Blake's going to be fine as a role player. They got, you know, Nick Claxton will get better. Like, I think this team has depth because I need role players. I don't need another star with Harden and Durant. Obviously, Kyrie would help, but I'm just saying, those other guys don't have to be stars. They can be role players, and I think they're fine. Joe Harris, I can go on and on. They'll be fine. Right, they just need Harden to be Harden.
Well, let's see if Harden can make that adjustment turn into Harden again. Back to football now. Brady threw four touchdowns yesterday, including number 600. Nice little winner for Chicago. But who opened everyone's eyes on this panel to be discussed next? First things first. Hey, tomorrow on Fox, it's game one of the World Series. Freddie Freeman and the Braves taking on Jose Altuve and the Houston Astros. It all begins tomorrow, 7:30 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Cannot wait. All right, time for stories to start your morning. Sponsored by Ram Trucks, built to serve. Kansas City down taking on Tennessee yesterday. Tennessee doing anything and everything they wanted in this one. It was 14-0 before the end of the first quarter. The Chiefs' defense, that's still a problem. Chiefs' turnovers, also still a problem. Two more for Patrick Mahomes yesterday. He was picked off for the sixth straight game, his longest INT streak ever. He got hurt in this one, too. We'll have more on that in just a second. Titans with a big, big win, big statement win, 27-3. Chiefs mustering up just 3 points yesterday. After the game, Mahomes on where the now 3-4 Chiefs go from here.
It's been kind of rainbows and flowers and awesome for these last few years, but whenever you want to build something substantial and you want to build something great, you're going to go through parts like this. And I mean, people keep saying it's still early in the year. I mean, we can still go get whatever we want, but it's going to take us getting better every single day. Because if you get better every single day and play each game play by play, I think we have the talent in this locker room that we can make it happen.
Listen, we're lucky we even saw Mahomes at the post-game podium there. He took a nasty hit to the head in the fourth quarter. Almost looked like his neck snapped back. He didn't return, but he did clear concussion protocol, which is great news for the Chiefs after a very disappointing day. But, Nick, after everything you saw go down against Tennessee, should the Chiefs be in full-blown panic mode?
I am, because to me it's very simple what teams are doing. And it is inexplicable that the Chiefs are not prepared for it. Teams are saying your offensive line, despite it being the only thing you focused on this offseason, can't protect Mahomes with four guys. So we're never going to blitz you. We're going to rush with four, and we're going to force Mahomes out of the pocket. Which, by the way, prior to the last few weeks, had been a place Mahomes thrived in. Out of the pocket, making plays off schedule. But he's having to do that now with seven defenders back, two safeties, and the big play's not there, and Patrick is not taking the easy play. So why don't teams always play every team with this type of defense? Because most teams will say, okay, if you're going to give me 7 yards, easy 7 yards, I'll just take it all the way down the field. The Chiefs are refusing to do that on offense, and they're turning the ball over at an unsustainably high rate, but it doesn't have to sustain that much longer for it to ruin the season. That's on the offensive end. On the defensive end, Broussard, the Chiefs, it's the worst of all worlds. They are not blitzing to prevent getting killed with the big play, but they're still giving up the big play, and they're still giving up a first down seemingly every time the other team wants one. At this point, it is unfathomable to me that they have not decided, all right, we're going to start sending the house more often so we can get some type of pressure on the quarterback, because we have to create these game-changing plays, because if we just line up and rush four like the other team's doing to us, they're just going to slowly, methodically chunk us down the field. They can't defend the play-action pass. They can't defend the run, even though they did a decent job yesterday. And they can't create big plays. Broussard, they look like a team that doesn't practice. And that is the most frustrating part. I don't think the Titans are great. I think they're good. I don't think they're great. They made the Chiefs look amateurish yesterday. Do I think the season's over? No. Do I think they can, with a month of good football, look like a scary team again? Absolutely. But yesterday was a big game, and they didn't barely lose it. They lost it within 20 minutes of kickoff and were never in it. So, yeah, I think it's time to press the panic button in Kansas City.
Nick, I don't think they're unprepared. I just think they don't have the personnel, especially on the defensive end. Now, offensively, Mahomes won't take the under stuff. That's been who he is. And so they know what's coming, but they're just not taking it. And then defensively, look, Chris Jones, 32 sacks the previous three seasons. He's got 2 sacks in like 5 games. Frank Clark, 28 sacks in the last 3 seasons. He's got 0 sacks. So the personnel is not getting it done. And I'm going to say that, look, obviously, I'm not going to panic mode. All right, whatever's right below panic mode. And I say that because I'm not ready to say they won't make the playoffs. And then once you get to the playoffs, anything can happen. As we've seen, these teams in the AFC are a bit inconsistent, a bunch of them. And Buffalo, even though they stomped the Chiefs, haven't beaten a team with a winning record. So they're not looking like the Super Bowl team, no doubt, right now. But I still think they can get to the playoffs. So whatever's beneath panic mode, in distress, major concern, disquieted, that's where I'm at. But I do think, Nick, that this could be good for the Chiefs. I don't really mean that. Now, the defense, I really don't know how they're going to fix that. But I'm serious. Look, the Chiefs have been the bully for the last few seasons in the AFC. I think we all can admit that. And they've been cocky about it. These crazy plays, crazy formations, Ferrari this, we going to run a dynasty, they said, after their first Super Bowl. They've been cocky. And Mahomes' play has been cocky. And now they have to adjust. And like any bully, when you get punched in the mouth and for the first time, we all want to see, how do they respond? All right, how's he going to respond? Is he have the fortitude and the courage to get up and fight through it? Or is he going to crumble? I think Mahomes-wise will fight through this. Now, I got concerns about that defense, and that's a problem. But I think the offense will get it together, and I still have belief in Mahomes. Even as I saw yesterday, he was clearly starting to second-guess himself.
Okay, Broussard is not giving up the ship. Here's the story, everybody. We said this before the season started. 17 of the last 20 Super Bowl losers failed to win a playoff game. I'll say it again. 17 of the last 20 Super Bowl losers failed to win a playoff game. So, Broussard, if you were in a boat on vacation, rent these boats. FYI, 17 of the last 20 have sank, and you start to take on water. Don't turn to your wife and be like, I'm not nervous. I'm not nervous. It's 17 of the last 20.
This is a total shock.
There's three things that you need to be worried about. The first one is takeaways. We know that you guys are not holding on and taking care of the ball. Mahomes leads the league in interceptions. The Chiefs have a league-high 17 giveaways, which is as much as the Bills, the Bucks, and the Cardinals combined. Reason number two, you guys don't stop the ball. It used to be like, that pass defense is no good. Well, guess what? The rushing defense is not good either. Points per game, 27th. Yards per game, 28th. Passing, 26th, 27th. And Nick, you've been a different team. Patrick Mahomes has been a different guy since that Bucs game. And I know we talked about the Chiefs blueprint, but it really feels like the Bucs gave everybody the blueprint. Like, hey, this is how you beat this guy. Every major statistical category is down since you came up against the GOAT and Todd Bowles. So I would find the fact that you guys are suffering from a Super Bowl hangover, you're having an emotional letdown, and teams are emotionally getting ready for you, and there's a blueprint out to beat you. I don't think you make the playoffs, and if you do, I don't think you win a game.
Okay, Wait a second. You don't get both of those corners, so I'm going to make you pick one. There's no, you don't make the playoffs, but if you make it, you don't win a football game. Are you, because 17 of 20 doesn't win a playoff game is a little misleading to what you're really saying here for the Chiefs. Because a few of those 17 that didn't win a playoff game got a bye, and then, so they were in the second round of the playoffs, they just didn't advance further. I think it's 10 of 20 have missed the playoffs outright. Are you saying right now you think the Kansas City Chiefs are going to miss the postseason? Is that the prediction?
Oh, here we go.
Because you've been good on predictions this year.
Not quite ready for that one yet. Not quite ready. I will say you don't win a you win a playoff game. Don't put me in a prediction corner. That's not how the genius switch works right now.
You did all that and you did very fancy numbers with Dusty about Mahomes. Here's also the truth about Mahomes and the Chiefs. Through 4 weeks, when the Chiefs were 2-2, they had the number one offense in football. By any advanced metric and by just the regular points per game metric, I think they were third. And Mahomes, up until this week, was still leading the NFL in touchdown passes. Now, he played terribly this week, and I would argue of his five worst games of his career, two of them have come this season. And this play right here, it's first down. What are you doing? And the fumble, like Broussard said, we saw it coming. Like you saw, it was like a horror movie where you see, you're like, the killer's going to catch up with you. You knew a bad play was coming there. And I am incredibly frustrated with the team, and I am not as nearly as confident as I once was. However, I think there is a massive difference, Broussard, between a Chiefs team that fights and claws and finds its way to the seventh seed and a Chiefs team that misses the playoffs. And here's why. If they are able to get to the 10 wins it's going to take to make the postseason, they are going to be the scariest team in the AFC if they get there. So that's why I wanted to see what Wilds was saying, because I actually think it's almost a safer bet to just say they missed the playoffs than 10 and 7. So they would have to go 7-3 the rest of the way. And so, because if they get there, Broussard, it will by definition mean they're not turning the ball over three times a game anymore. They don't have the worst defense in the NFL. Those things. But right now, they look like a team that the Giants know what the blueprint is for Monday Night Football. Will the Chiefs look like they practiced it all this week? That's my question, Broussard.
Well, look, we may know the answer over the next month. Because, look, they've already, to your point, and this might be a saving grace for them. They've had a tough schedule, all right? But it doesn't get much easier. Tough yes, they got the Giants, who should be a good win, all right, on the Giants. Get a little confidence back.
Ooh,
and then they got Green Bay, Las Vegas, and Dallas. We'll know then. If they have not turned it around during those three games, then Wilds might be right, although he's not ready to go there. I think he's
Giants look tough.
Wilds, I don't know. You had a lot of bass in your voice. Your chest was out.
Wilds a big
you were
coward.
Coming hard, hitting the
he's
table.
He's a horse coward.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised,
he
Wilds.
Spent a whole
go to distance.
Yelling
go to lane.
Lost his voice.
Nobody's
going to. Don't just faint. Don't just faint. Go to punch.
A lot of words. We'll see you tomorrow.